This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
All right, so now that movie theaters are back open, thank God, we can finally be able to enjoy that. It's a very big part of our economy, too. You know, these places are they're really important. But are people going back to the theaters? That is the question. And we'll also talk about the controversy surrounding Netflix as well. Here to discuss with me, Brandon Katz is a senior entertainment writer for The Observer. You can see it, observer.com. Hey, Brandon Katz, thanks for coming back on the show. How you doing?
Thank you for having me, man. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. So first of all, I saw Tenant. I went back to the theaters to see that. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was a little confusing, but overall, it was just great to be back in a movie theater. And I felt fine. I felt safe in there. But I guess a new poll out shows there's still a lot of fear with people going back to the movie theaters. And I guess Fauci was saying it's going to be like a year after a vaccine until people can go back to the theater safely. But what is your experience so far? What are you seeing in terms of what people are doing?
You see, my experience is different from most because I'm a New Yorker. So New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, the three biggest U.S. movie-going markets, are still closed, which I think is indicative of the entire movie theater trend at the moment. Although tons of theaters, about 3,000 or so, across the nation are open, we are seeing that the demand just isn't there. Tenet, a Christopher Nolan original blockbuster, which would otherwise be absolutely slaying at the box office, is off to a very, very sluggish start. And although in the pandemic, the entire economic question is more of a marathon than a sprint, more so than ever before, studios aren't in the business of making $200 million blockbusters that don't cross $50 million here in the United States. And right now, that's what the numbers are saying about Tenet. So it just isn't good business at the moment.
Yeah, also, too, there's not a lot of movies to show, right? I mean, that's kind of part of the problem. I looked online, and there's only like three or four movies that they're even bothering to show at the time. What happened to the idea they were going to start showing all those old features again? And did they just realize that just there was nobody wanted to spend money to see those things? Or
no, a lot of them were released in that kind of July lead up to the August lead up to new content such as Unhinged with Russell Crowe and The New Mutants, which released in late August. You know, we did get re-releases of older films, but you're right. The fact that there isn't new content also plays a role. But as we saw, that Warner Brothers released Tenet. A week later, they decided to delay Wonder Woman 1984 yet again until December. And I think that speaks to their general attitude towards the numbers they're seeing in coming in for Tenet. Because that's off to a sluggish start, they're like, you know what? We don't want to put what would otherwise be a big moneymaker into a volatile marketplace. And they're hoping that the situation improves a little bit down the line. Whether or not that's the case, you know, we'll see. It depends entirely on audience attitudes.
I mean, as far as I can tell, it's really not much different than if you were to sit at a theater or like at a restaurant inside and have dinner or something like that. I mean, if you're sitting in your chair and you take your mask off to eat popcorn, which in my case, I literally eat popcorn the moment I sit down until the credits come up. I just eat the entire time. But it's really no different than going to a theater, out to dinner. Do you think that the theaters have not done enough to tell people that they're safe?
I think the theaters have done a pretty good job trying to convey all of the new strategies and health and public safety methods that they are deploying. I think, you know, having mask mandates for a lot of the major chains definitely helped ease some concerns. And I think a lot of them have taken on a ton of extra expenses to make sure that their theaters are clean. The problem is, you know, people are just kind of wary of general public gatherings at the moment, no matter how many safety precautions you put in to try to prevent and ease any doubts and assuage any fears. And the fact is, you know what? Tenet arriving with slightly less quality word of mouth than your average Nolan blockbuster probably didn't help things either for those that were on the fence or those that are general moviegoers and maybe not diehard fans like you and I.
Brandon Katz is here. He's a senior entertainment writer for The Observer, and I'm glad that you're here. I saw that you wrote a piece that about Cobra Kai. I didn't even realize that this was a show. I mean, from The Karate Kid, which I grew up with, and I loved that movie growing up as a kid. And then they started off by making a very funny spin-off of that show of, like, what happened to all the characters from The Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid. And it started on YouTube, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And then it moved over to Netflix, right?
Yeah, so YouTube started it 2 years ago. It's been two seasons. And then they pivoted away from scripted content. So they really had no need for this very, very, very surprisingly good show. So they just sold off the rights to Netflix. Now Netflix is making a season three. And listen, on paper, this shouldn't work. I don't think anyone thought that they cared about what happens to Joey Lawrence and Daniel Russo, 30 years later. And yet it's a surprisingly touching and hilarious and very well done series that I highly recommend to anyone who's looking for their next binge prospect.
How is the movie Away doing, the astronaut show?
With Hilary Swank? Now, we won't know until about a month after its release, which is typically when Netflix makes its decisions on renewals or cancellations. But after about 5 or 6 days, the Hilary Swank show did make its way into Netflix's top 10, which is somewhat of an indicator of interest. And it's actually grown a little bit since then. So this isn't necessarily an immediate sensation, but it looks to be a grower, not a shower.
All right. Now, there's a couple controversies. The first controversy is the Netflix movie Cuties, which has caused a lot of backlash. And even the people are calling for a boycott of Netflix now, saying that, these kids are way too young for some of the scenes that they're in. Is that something that is really causing Netflix a headache? Is Netflix responding to it?
I don't think it's causing too much of a headache, although, any type of kind of national boycott online or, in person, whatever you want to call it, is certainly something to keep monitoring. The theme of the actual film centers around the sexualization and objectification of young girls in the social media era and the kind of what we can do to prevent and alter our mindset to avoid that. So the actual theme of the film is extremely well-intentioned, and I think actually handled with some nuance. What really generated the first and immediate controversy was the marketing materials Netflix chose to attach to the film. Now, the filmmaker has nothing to do with how Netflix chooses to market the film. So, she's been receiving death threats, which I think is a completely inappropriate response, when our outrage should be directed more so at the marketing PR teams that are putting out these very questionable images. So it's a very difficult kind of minefield to navigate. But at the end of the day, as with most online campaigns, this will pass. And Netflix isn't going to suffer the consequences overall.
That's fascinating. I didn't realize that it was the marketing campaign that was different from what the movie was itself.
Yeah, now you can object to some of the hip-hop dance routines in the movie that do feature tweens. I think for the most part, they're pretty much what you see if you walk into any, 12-year-old girl's dance class these days across the country. But it is the marketing materials that Netflix chose which initially sparked this entire backlash, not the film itself, which premiered actually at Sundance in January to relatively, pretty good reviews. It had an 80%+ on Rotten Tomatoes for months before this whole thing blew up.
The other controversy involves Disney and Mulan, which they came out on their premier streaming service, which you got to be a Disney streaming member. Then you have to pay extra to watch Mulan at home. And there's a lot of controversy because they shot it in China and they actually shot it in the areas where the Uyghurs were being oppressed and even thanked the people in the area who handle all the sort of the propaganda for that. There's been a lot of controversy over that as well.
Yeah, and that one holds more merit than the Netflix Cuties one, in my opinion. Mulan was essentially made in conjunction with Chinese organizations to appeal to the Middle Kingdom audiences, because that is the second biggest box office region in the world behind the U.S. And they are actually, before the pandemic, were on pace to overtake us in the next few years. So that's a huge money-making region for Hollywood. So they try to cater towards that audience. And despite all that, despite all the effort they put into trying to make it a Chinese hit, it is performing very, very disappointingly in the region. Audiences just don't seem to care. So after all that, after all the hoops they jumped through and all the controversy they generated, they couldn't even achieve their goal of making it a blockbuster, you know, $100 million hit. So it just goes to show you that you catering towards these outside forces, especially when there's a lot of ethical questions involved.
Oh, yeah. Big time ethical questions. I mean, no doubt about it. Hey, Brandon Katz, thanks for the update and all that. We appreciate it. You can follow Brandon on Twitter at @great_Katzby, senior entertainment writer for The Observer. Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.